Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
Now the proclamation of God's Word written, the Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem with his disciples. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen, sheep, and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, Jesus drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And Jesus told them who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that when it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews, the Jewish leaders, said to Jesus, "What sign do you show for us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking, of course, John writes, about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that Jesus had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts present be worthy in thy hearing, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We join Jesus this morning. On the walk to Jerusalem, because it was a Jewish Passover, a Passover celebration, and the trip was the first of three recorded in John. My own suggestion, I think it's actually four, at least, because I think it was the Passover when Jesus was 12 that he was so excited about meeting the Jewish leaders and the religious leaders that he stayed extra hours and extra days to the chagrin of his parents, if you recall, when they came back to Jerusalem to discover. And he said, "Why would you expect me to be any other place than my Father's house?" But certainly this time, the Passover is an important experience. It's a Jewish holiday. To this hour, to this day, this year. It's a Hebrew liberation experience. God took his people, who were welcomed into Egypt by the Pharaoh of the day because of Joseph. And 400 years later, the same Hebrew people were now found to be slaves. They were feared by the Pharaoh. It's the oldest celebration in the Jewish tradition. It's a time to renew hope and encouragement to all those who are currently living under physical and political oppression then. That's why they gathered in Jerusalem until today. Each year, Jesus, like other Jewish men, were expected to attend the events in Jerusalem, and they were expected to go to the temple. As Jesus enters the temple, he's expecting to see the essential trades that are in place for the necessary exchange. The necessary exchange for monies, animals, and grains for the required sacrifices. This is to take place in an area outside the sacred temple. An area outside the sacred temple, which is designed so they could indeed exchange the Roman denarii for the Jewish shekel. Roman denarii those Jewish leaders did not want to have Caesar's pictures on the money that was used for the sacrifices. So the people were expected to come and exchange the money of the day for the shekels. And they had a role to play, those money changers. And of course, those people selling goats and cattle and pigeons, they had a role to play too, because in that day, the annual sacrifice was important. But it was never intended that this business activity should be taking place on the temple grounds themselves. As you look at that picture, the temple day in Jesus, I can only imagine, in fairness to you, that this would be the area that Jesus walked into and discovered that somehow or other they had left the prescribed area outside to go on the inside because it was easier, or whatever compromise they made. And could you imagine? Jesus walks in and was shocked and dismayed to discover what he had. So what does Jesus do? He makes a whip out of cords, and he drove those people out of the temple courts and back into the area where they should be. Not dishonoring God, not dishonoring the temple, not dishonoring their faith. He scattered the coin change money. Could you imagine? All the money that was on the tables were overturned by Jesus. He was pretty challenged. He was pretty dismayed. And he turned those tables over. And then he made these famous words. Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. And if you were one of the merchants, you would have been astonished at the aggression and the commotion that was going on all around you. All the cattle and the sheep bolting around on that pavement stones in the temple. The money changers would be furious as they saw their coins being spilled onto the floor. And you could accept the fact that the Jewish leaders would be enraged at the audacity of this man, this nobody, this insignificant Galilean, disrupting their Passover activities and yelling, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. And then they just reflected on what they heard. Did this man say, my father's house? What kind of blasphemy is this Galilean doing? So they asked for a sign. Show us your authority. How could you justify doing what you've just done? Jesus said, destroy this temple. Now I will raise it up again in 3 days. The war of words continued. The Jewish leaders come back and say it took 46 years to build this temple, to rebuild it, really. And you're going to tell me that you're going to raise it up, you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? Now it doesn't record in scriptures the response, but it would certainly be the beginning of a lot of attention being paid to this carpenter son from Nazareth. Now we do know, and John informs us, sort of like a shadowing, if you will, a foreshadowing. The temple that he spoke about, John explains to you and I and the reader today, in our Bible that we read right now, this moment, the temple he had spoken of was his body after he was raised from the dead. So about 60 years after Jesus indeed did go to the cross and die, John explains it for the people of the day that the temple that we're talking about was Jesus, the body of God's Son. And it's an important thing to note, because Jesus died on that cross, the function of sacrifice for God's people was no longer ever needed again. The ultimate sacrifice was Jesus' death on the cross, the one and only means to reconciliation with God the Father. Yes, Jesus was speaking metaphorically when he said, in 3 days, but it was only 3 years later on the cross. Jesus lived out and died the promise. Death on the cross was to be the end of the troublemaker, so the religious leaders thought of the day. But you and I know, they didn't understand. Jesus died for the sins of not only those people, but for you and I as well. So we can stand boldly before the throne of grace, before God, when our time comes. So for you today, in this Lenten season, the message of the cross, well, what is it? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? Have you decided Jesus died for your sins to set you free? Well, I hope so. The Jewish community in Israel had a challenge maintaining a stark contrast to the lifestyles of the people around them. The people around them were pagan, often Roman. They were the ruling class. And these Jewish people, from the time they left Egypt until the hour that Jesus was with them that day in the temple, they were trying to live out the commandments that we heard Gord read again today from Exodus. They were trying to honor the first commandment all through the challenges for years and centuries. They were trying to read, "I am your God and you shall have no other gods before me." They were trying to honor that in a day of many, many gods. This was difficult. So Jesus was sent. Jesus was sent by God to preach and teach about the one true God. This was difficult. And it was clear that this was a living God, not an inanimate object made by man's hands. God is a living God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The teaching of peace and mercy and love set a whole new standard of living and a whole new dignity for people. And it would take a lot more than animal sacrifices to restore God's chosen people to worthiness to stand before God Almighty, El Shaddai. "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days" was prophetic when Jesus said it, yes. And it was explained 60 years later in the scriptures we read today. This is a paradox of the cross, isn't it? A symbol of death and destruction to many people then, in Jesus' day, and now also. And yet, it's the only means for forgiveness and salvation and eternal life and blessedness. Jesus' death on the cross. That's what Lent's about. Now, if you're a non-Christian, happen to be discovering this message this morning, and there are many Canadians living today in this region, around our community where we live and across the world, who've heard the gospel shared, maybe, and ignored, well, you may not see any point to the cross. You probably won't attach any positive significance to it in any case. Why would you? More and more people don't value God's standards. And they don't attempt to live by his commandments. Love God and serve and love others as yourself. Many people disdain God's commands. In this world today, they disdain his command, "Do not commit adultery. Do not covet another person's wife or husband. Do not misuse the name of God. And don't bear false witness." No, in these certain days, those rules are totally ignored by many, many people. Instead, the world standards of celebrity status, people seeking that, seeking promiscuity or lust, and they perpetuate the myth, you know. One of the things I discovered a long time ago was There's a myth that we survive because of our own greatness, our own talent, our own ability. We survive because we're so good, our intellect, our self-drive, and our scholarship. That's what makes the difference in people's lives. They believe in the me philosophy. Seeking material things and having faith in the accumulation of money, but not in God. By this world's standards, the cross is foolish, illogical, hard to understand. That's what the disciples faced then, and you and I face it today. The message of God's love and mercy has power. It has power that does not depend on our eloquence and our own personal wisdom, our own personal drive. It's a gift of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's grace. To us, as Paul said, to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. We are made worthy by Jesus' blood on the cross. Worthy because we are washed clean from our sins and made white as snow. So in closing, in my message today, what does the message of the cross mean to you? The word from the cross. Well, all through history, there is no lasting significant power, none at all, to worldly idols, man-made idols. There's no lasting significance to money or status or material things. Nothing compared to the human power when we combine it with God, the creator of the universe. There's no such thing as wealth, security, or security in material things compared to the security of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's no man-made philosophy on this planet that has the power to overcome death, forgiveness. There's no power in believing in yourself and not believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't overcome the evil influences in your life. And they're trying to seek and destroy you, as the evil one knows. There's nothing on this planet or universe that compares to belief in the one true source of everything. Only Jesus can bring you and I into righteousness. Only Jesus can bring us into holiness and redemption. And only Jesus, the one true and only God, El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, can possibly make it reasonable to live. Well, I do hope that you'll consider today, what does it mean to you that Jesus should have been on the cross? I want to show you that one because the temple that I showed you earlier today is still found. That's the wall that's still there to this hour. The Temple Mount today, the Western Wall. I've been there, I've prayed there, and I'm telling you, it can be a very significant moment in your life, knowing that that is where Jesus himself walked. Paul proclaims, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Are you accepting the truth? Are these the last days? Amen. One of the joys of being a believer is to have the summary of what we've just heard. Proclaimed in the Apostles' Creed, would you stand with me and share in the truth of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen.
The body we're talking about there is yours and mine. The resurrection of your body at the last days. And you know, folks, it might be sooner than you think. O Lord, show us your mercy.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save our nations.
Guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
And they may chosen people
join. O Lord, save your people.
And bless your inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
For only in you can save the sin.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Let the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And take not your Holy Spirit from us.
Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Don't you just love that sense of truth? Wow. Continuing together in the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin, nor run into any kind of danger, and that God, by your Spirit, we may do what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca. And be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.